We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colm Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
We're taking listener questions on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. I'm pumped about this episode because we have collected some listener questions and comments, putting them into the show for the first time. We're going to select a winner. Somebody is going to come away from this episode with some RotoViz merchandise, which I am very excited about. Curtis, how pumped are you to get to these questions?
I'm super excited. It's really cool to know that people went out of their way to jot down the phone number from listening to the episodes. These are clearly loyal listeners. They're going to be smart questions. They're listening to this show. They're clearly a sharp audience. So let's dig in to these questions and hopefully provide some practical application or insights into these problems.
All right, first question comes in. I really like this one. We're going to get to talk about one of the players that we both thought was really exciting to close last year. I know you've been a big fan of his for a number of years. Let's do it.
What up, Dave? What up, Curtis? What up, RotoViz? All right, my name is Mark, and I write for a fantasy website called QB List, QBList.com. I need you to settle a debate that me and a co-writer, Mike Miklias, are having right now. Now, he loves Carson Wentz, and he thinks that Carson Wentz is going to be rejuvenated in a better situation in Indianapolis. So, naturally, I had to place a bet because I think Jalen Hurts is just going to blow up this year. Do I think he's great? No, I don't think he's great, but I think that he has that Konami code that you need in the 21st century quarterback. So, please settle the debate here. Who is going to finish with more PPR points, Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz? Minimum 8-game slate. Thanks, RotoViz. Love listening.
Okay, so Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz. We will stratify this down to points per game just to make it easy. What are your thoughts, Curtis? Who is on the right side of this bet? The guy that called in or his buddy?
Oh, man, our caller all day. Okay, come on now. We've seen from Carson Wentz, I mean, everything under the sun. We've seen him struggle. We've seen him in really loaded offenses. We've seen him in pretty bad offenses. And the most recent sample that we have of Carson Wentz is looking pretty darn busted. I understand he's in a better situation, better O-line. I'm not sure he has better passing game weapons than he had like as recently as 2 years ago when he was just the QB 12 overall. And I think Indy is much more committed to the run than Philly was even when Wentz was there. I mean, they've got Jonathan Taylor. They have Marlon Mack coming back. They have Naeem Hines. I think Wentz is like a fungible fantasy asset at this point. I mean, he's serviceable at best. And I think as an upside, you know, from an upside perspective, it's going to be hard to pick his games. He does nothing for me. I mean, he's the milk in the coffee, Coke and milk. He's the milk. Okay. Now let me tell you where that splash is coming from in that Triflex drink. It's from Jalen Hurts. He's the kick, man. He only had 4 starts last year, 26.3 PPR per game, 3 QB1 weeks, including an overall QB1 week against Arizona with a staggering 41.2 PPR. Carson Wentz is never going to put up 40 PPR in a week. Jalen Hurts averaged 20.7 EP per game, and he averaged about 6 EP rushing per game. And that's really where, you know, it separates the men from the boys for fantasy purposes. Give me the Jalen Hurts rushing floor, the rushing ceiling. He's only going to get better. The team's going to add more weapons. Zach Ertz probably out of the picture. Alshon Jeffrey out of the picture. Let's see what Jalen Reagor can do. Let's see what a round one wide receiver can do. And let's see what an off season of all the starters reps does for Jalen Hurts in a season that should be impacted less by all of the COVID precautions and protocols that we saw during Hurts's rookie year. I'm really fired up about Jalen Hurts. Just invested in him as my QB1 in our head-to-head dynasty startup, Dave. So you got to be on the right side of this argument, right? You agree with the caller and me as well?
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally on board with this. And I don't even have to talk about the fact that I like Jalen Hurts, right? And that he's super exciting. I think if you take a step back and you look at Carson Wentz, you might be inclined to say, all right, last year, Carson Wentz had 4 weeks where he was a QB1. That's not terrible. To which I would say, go back and look at some of those game logs. You will see that some of his best weeks came when he scored a rushing touchdown. In fact, his numbers last year where he finished 20th in PPR per game are a little bit inflated by the fact that he scored 5 rushing touchdowns. When I look at the offense that they have in Indianapolis, do I see Carson Wentz repeating that and scoring 5 rushing touchdowns? That seems to me to be pretty unlikely. In his career, he had 2 rushing touchdowns his rookie year, then a drought for 2 seasons, 1 in 2019, then the 5 in 2020. That feels to me like more of a fluke. Then, a knock that you might have on Jalen Hurts would be, well, who is he throwing to? Who are the pass catchers? Tell me why him going to Indy rejuvenates him as a passer. It's not like he has a guy like DeSean Jackson or Will Fuller, somebody that we see that makes quarterbacks better. There's not, anything more than an aging T.Y. Hilton. I do like Michael Pittman, but it's not like there's a player there that can really elevate his game. There's not a tight end that he can go to bail him out. He has to get into this rhythm with this new squad. There's just not a lot there that you can point to. So then on the flip side of the coin, you have this very exciting player in Jalen Hurts, who at this point might be as good of a passer as Carson Wentz. We see what he can do on his feet. And even if Carson Wentz is rejuvenated, how rejuvenated does he need to be to catch up to a guy like Jalen Hurts that's padding his stats with, who knows, if he plays a whole season, he could be putting up 10 rushing touchdowns at 11. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. He's going to be scoring more points each week than Carson Wentz.
I think we've surrounded this argument on all sides. If there's a way to the caller, if there's a way that we can get some action on that bet and make it things a little even more interesting for you and your analyst at your site, we'd love to join you in your quest to rake it over on your buddy there. So, hey, that's a great question. Thanks so much for calling in. And thanks especially for making it a great debate there.
Yeah, no, that was a great question. And, you know, I don't mean to, I'm kind of adding on a little bit of the emphasis there just for the fun of it. But I do think it actually is a good, interesting question to think about. And, you know, maybe Carson Wentz surprises us. But let's get to our second question.
¿Qué pasa, Rodoviz? All right. I used to live in South America, but no longer. This is Jeff, FF Gringo on the Twitters. I'm really struggling with a dynasty team that should be competing. And I'm looking at players like Davante Adams coming off a absolutely standout year. It seems unlikely to repeat. And obviously the risk of Aaron Rodgers leaving next year. You've got guys like Amari Cooper, who, you know, we don't know exactly how that's going to play out with CeeDee Lamb. And guys like Josh Jacobs that, you know, are dealing with, well, Gruden's issues. So I would love to get your guys' perspective as you think through some of these really high-value dynasty assets. Like, what's your thought process? Do we take a little bit more of a risky approach, like Sean might recommend, where we say, you know, Devontae's really at his peak value. Let's go ahead and look for some of those key assets and maybe try to gain some extra value in some extra years and stay in that window longer. Or do we ride these horses for another year expecting them to produce like true championship value? Love what you guys do. Been a fan for a very long time. So this is Jeff out of Oregon now, but I used to be the RotoViz OG in Santiago, Chile back in the day. Thanks, Dave and Curtis. Take care, guys.
All right, that's a really cool question. So there was a lot of different pieces there, Curtis.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think, you know, one of the things that he touched upon is getting our thoughts on teams where you have some of these guys at their peak value. So maybe we can talk a little bit about your perspective on holding on to a guy like Davante Adams. And then maybe think about a team that has guys like Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, Amari Cooper that hasn't been, you know, realizing a title in the last couple of years. What would a team like that do? Should it move on from those kind of guys, try to divest them, start building for the future, or kind of stay the course? Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
So listen, we're actually past peak value for all three of these assets. So FF Gringo, great question on what to do here. And if these are your three primary assets and you really don't have a lot behind them, I think it is time to move on probably from all three players. Amari would be the one I'm most likely to hold on to. I think he could still accrue some of that value back with Dak Prescott coming back into the picture, getting off to a hot start in September. I think he's a player you certainly could get more for in season. Josh Jacobs, I would love to move before the season because you know, some Josh Jacobs lover who isn't giving Kenyon Drake due credit or, you know, assumes rational coaching from John Gruden might think that Josh Jacobs is still, you know, a low-end RB1 for dynasty purposes. Man, if I look at our RotoViz Dynasty ADP tools, Josh Jacobs was a mid-second round startup pick in super flex formats as recently as last season. And we have seen his value just tank since Kenyon Drake came into town. He's now a late fifth round startup pick. And it's only going to go worse if that's a 50-50 split in week one. And we already know what kind of that workhorse style diet looks like for Josh Jacobs there. It just has not led to true high-end RB1 production. So I would say get out while you can there. Davante Adams, I think you're posting him as trade bait now, and you're just being patient for that right offer. He's a little bit value depressed. The risk with Adams is we're seeing him enter hit what will be recorded as his age 29 NFL season. He'll turn 29 in December, so he'll play most of the season at 28. But for, you know, just counting purposes, it's his age 29 season. Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of prevailing thought that he moves on from Green Bay after this season. That would certainly just be the death knell to Davante Adams' value. So he's a player that you might get a little bit more for in September than you would today. But for example, in your rookie draft, if you have a team that has a pair of top five picks, they would move to you for Davante Adams, or, you know, mid or late first this year and first next year, you know, kind of a low three first offer for Davante Adams. I would take, you know, face value for him in your situation. Cooper, let's wait and sell him during the season. Dave, you agree or disagree on any of those players?
Yeah, no, I think that like your perspective on all of those players sounds pretty spot on to me. And I think that you also made a really interesting point when you said that these players' peak value were already past it. Because that does make me think about sometimes when you have your roster and you're looking at these guys, you viewed your peak as when that player is in their prime, and you kind of give it like maybe like this 3-year window for a receiver. Maybe you're saying it's 26 to 29 and you're considering them still in their peak as they're approaching the 29. But the reality is we know at that point, the value starts to go down. So a player's actual peak in value is different perhaps than their peak in production. So you almost need to be anticipating when that player is going to be coming up to their peak production level and get ahead of that if you're looking to divest from them at the right time. Or even if you're looking to hold, like you said, you're probably at the point now where you're at this precipice and you're a little bit closer to falling off the cliff than you would like. So I think that's a really, really interesting point. I am curious, though, if you think the way that I broke down there being the difference perhaps between peak production and peak value, if that is kind of the way you frame it in your mind.
It generally is, especially for the non-elite players. So, and when I say non-elite, I mean, we're talking about basically everyone who's not a league winner. The players that have that 300 plus, you know, if we're just talking about a PPR tight end premium format, any non-QB who scores 300 plus PPR points, those are the players who can they can achieve that peak value while they're in their prime and maintain it. It's the reason that we still see Christian McCaffrey as a round one startup pick, despite the fact that he's kind of post running back prime. It's just that we know. I mean, he showed us last year he can still score 30 points per game. Davante Adams fits that description. Julio Jones fit that description in his late 20s. Players like that, that you can bank on, that are in stable offensive situations, not just with their head coach either, but also with their offensive coordinator. You know, no big changes in the line. They're not in a contract year. There's not a lot of injury history. Those players probably don't fit that description. But for everyone outside that dynasty, like top eight, I totally agree with everything that you're saying.
Cool. All right. So I think that takes us to the response on there. I did want to share two of the comments that we had come in on the show. Hey, who doesn't like getting a little bit of positive feedback? So also feel free to send us comments. Let's check them out.
Hey, Dave, this is Chris Duran. Love the podcast with you and Curtis. My Twitter handle is dblocklion33. Keep up the great work, and looking forward to another great year of fantasy analysis. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was one of the comments. This was another great one that we received.
Hi. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Aaron Wilcox. I can be found at AaronWilcox86 on Twitter, and I enjoy playing Dynasty, playing Devi, now Campus to Canton, so spreading my fantasy interests for sure, and I really enjoy the show very much. So yeah, I just wanted to call in and also let you guys know that you're doing a great job there. I always appreciate all the great content you put out. So take care. Have a good night.
So some solid questions, some comments in there. Always good to get. Curtis, I need you. We're going to go through picking the actual winner of the t-shirt right now, but we're going to do this with a random process. I need you to give me a number between 25 and 35, which will be the seed that I use for my random generation of the winner here. Between 25 and 35, give me a number.
Oh, wow. Let's go with 31.
All right, 31. Let me pop that in. All right, the winner will be the second caller, which I believe was FF Gringo. If you are FF Gringo, what you need to do is you need to shoot an email to rotovizffshow@gmail.com telling me it's you and that you won the shirt. Actually, you probably send me it from Twitter, right? So that I know it's you. Send me a message on Twitter or an email. However, just get in touch with me. What's up, Curtis?
Let's fast track this, man. I'm just going to add him on Twitter on the show right now. Let's just tell the man that he won. I mean, let's not, you know, it's great. You know, we know he's a listener to the show. That's awesome. But let's just fast track it. I think his name's Jeff Hendricks. I just found him. Yeah. So Jeff, look for it. By the time you listen to the episode, you're already going to know you won. No, I'll be vague, Dave. I will just say, FF Gringo, please contact Dave Cabin. No further details.
Yep.
There we go.
Okay. Yep. That's how we do it. You know, I'm not, logistics aren't my thing. So Curtis, you were well ahead of me there. All right, before we close down the show, we are going to take a minute here and just run through a couple of very quick questions. I want a response from you, Curtis, to each of these that takes 1 minute or less. Who scores more points per game, Kenyon Drake or Chase Edmonds? Arizona had 222 rushing expected points last year. Las Vegas had 243 rushing expected points last year, just to give a little bit of context. So more points per game, Kenyon Drake or Chase Edmonds?
I'm just going to go with the younger player who's been more efficient in recent seasons, who has less of a, in my mind, less of a challenge to achieve a higher touch count. So I'm going to go with Chase Edmonds here to outscore Kenyon Drake in 2021.
Yeah, I would be on the Chase Edmonds side as well. And actually, we kind of talked last, first episode this week that we expect him to be the player that gets the first crack at it in Arizona. Makes that one easy. All right. Who scores more points per game, Robert Woods or Tyler Boyd? Woods over the last three seasons has averaged between 15.4 and 16.6. Boyd last year at just 12.9. Two seasons prior was at 15.8. And 14.2 in 2021. Who scores more points, Robert Woods or Tyler Boyd? Assuming that Jamar Chase or another top prospect does not go to Cincinnati and it's just T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd.
Is there a Kyle Pitts qualifier in there as well? We're assuming that since he doesn't take a tight end either.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so since he doesn't spend their early first on an offensive playmaker. I'm still going to go Robert Woods here. I'm going to go Robert Woods. We have a larger sample size from Matthew Stafford. We've seen Woods be, you know, a fantasy wide receiver one or wide receiver two on many an occasion. At this point, Tyler Boyd fell off toward the end of last year. Obviously that's post Joe Burrow situation, but I think yep. Robert Woods is just a bit more dynamic, and the T. Higgins breakout that I think many of us assume will happen could cover up a little bit of Tyler Boyd for me. So Woods is my answer.
Yep, I think that you got to go there with the player that has the better proven track record at this point, probably has the better offense. That seems like the safe pick to me. Now, to close things out, we're going to do a trade roster or cut. I'm assuming that you don't need me to specify how that works. If you have questions on exactly what I'm looking for there, you can shoot them off. But out of this group, trade roster cut, Miles Sanders, Hunter Henry, Kenny Golladay.
Ooh, okay. I'm basically going to follow ADP here. I'm going to trade Miles Sanders for the highest return I can get. I'm going to roster Kenny Golladay as the new alpha of the New York Giants offense. And I'm going to cut Hunter Henry in a confusing situation where we don't know if it's going to be him or Jonnu Smith emerging as the real tight end one. So there you go. Trade Sanders, roster Golladay, cut Henry.
All right. I was hoping that maybe I would have a different perspective there so we could talk about that for a minute, but I actually think that that's exactly the way that I would go, which leads me to think we probably don't need to go into it any further. But that does take us to the end of this episode. If you also want to win a shirt, and actually, Curtis, you just received some of the merchandise I sent you in the mail. How sick is this t-shirt?
The shirt's really great. It accentuates all the best features of your body, whatever those might be. When you put the shirt on, it will magically enhance them. So for me, it's kind of like the arms, the chest, the back, the abs, the neckline, all of those things just looking great. And I feel very confident that, that's how you'll feel when you put on our fire. Okay. Our graphic design team, when we reinvented the RotoViz branding, our logo is the best in the game. It's undebatable. It's not to be discussed. And when you wear that badge across your chest, whether it be on a sweatshirt, whether it be on a t-shirt, you're going to feel like a winner. That's the most glowing review I can give, Dave. And I meant every word of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm wearing the RotoViz sweatshirt right now. Curtis is wearing a snapback RotoViz hat. And I can say that I don't know if there's ever been two podcasters on a fantasy, you know, show with more swag and more self-confidence than we have right now. So you want to win a shirt, call 978-615-9214. We will see you on Friday. Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.